Good morning to you guys.
Good morning, Simon.
Morning, Simon. Morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I saw you guys chatting away while we were just playing that track. I thought I could actually talk to you as well, but no, that was coming through over the over the air. So that would have interrupted the song. Good morning. So welcome, Jill, again, a regular co-host, and welcome to you, Ned. So
thank you.
I'll take it away.
Yes, please.
And thanks again, Simon, for having me on the show. I love it. And I'm very excited today to have Ned Goodwin. I've been following Ned's career for quite a few years now. Ned is he's a sommelier, he's a master of wine. I know him a bit more, I'm sure probably most Australians would, as being part of the Halliday Wine Tasting Panel, which I can only imagine is quite an enormous task. So, Ned, welcome, and happy Father's Day.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Ned, so when it comes to the Halliday Wine Companion, it's such a beast, that Bible, the book itself, and but also just the awards and the tasting and everything that's involved. How much time is actually taken up throughout the year for you to be a part of this tasting panel?
Well, to date, I think this is my fourth or fifth year. The time has really been 3 to 4 months allotted each year, because we received the sort of tsunami of wine from early November right through until the deadline, which, depending on the year, was either mid-March to early April. I think the deadline's actually earlier now. But as of the new regime, that shifted somewhat. So we're actually privy to incremental allotments of wine throughout the year when they're ready. So we get dribbles rather than the flood. I'm sure the flood will still be a flood, but not the flood that it once was.
Sure, and I guess that...
So it's right throughout the year now. As long as wines are ready, then the wine maker or marketing team responsible for dispatching the wines can send them to us.
Sure.
And before, it was just the end of the year.
Sure. So, I mean, that drip feed sort of process that obviously kind of divvies it out and makes it a lot easier. So can you actually explain what the process is from beginning to end of how? So I guess there are the two different sides. You've got the Halliday Awards, August every year, but then you also have the Halliday Wine Companion that comes out. When we're talking about the Halliday Wine Companion itself, what's the process? Do the wineries actually, you know, submit for their wines to be tasted and judged, or how does that all start?
Yeah, the wineries fill out all of the prerequisite administrative details with admin, and then once they've done that, presumably they become part of the submission grouping. Once they do that, then they submit the wines to the allocated taster. And so from my perspective, perhaps I can extrapolate a bit on why we're the allocated tasters for any particular wine or region. Once upon a time, up until the current regime, it was really a matter of allotting the wines to a taster that hadn't previously tasted them. So it was simply designed as such that there would be no repetition across the same palate. Whereas now each taster is actually divvied up as a regional specialist or regional specialists, depending on singular or plural. And in my case, it's McLaren Vale and the Hunter Valley. And with the Hunter Valley, I'm also allotted the sort of surrounding areas across the Great Divide, like Orange and other New South Wales wine regions.
Sure. Mudgee.
Southern Highlands, Mudgee, Armidale, and so forth. So that's my zone of jurisdiction, if you will.
And did you actually choose those, or were you allotted them?
That's a good question. In some cases, tasters were simply allotted them, and I imagine that was due to convenience, economics, etc., depending on where they were based. In my case, I actually chose them. My father's from the Hunter, so there's some familial connection there, and obviously it's quite close to Sydney. And in retrospect, even though I wasn't aware of what was going to happen at that point, obviously with the COVID-centric dynamic that we find ourselves in, the Hunter is rather convenient. It's not too far away, so if I need to get up there, I can do it.
Yes.
Whereas with McLaren Vale, I chose McLaren Vale with great enthusiasm, because I've spent quite a bit of time in the south of France and a lot of time in Spain working with and around Grenache. And I'm also very fond of Italianate grape varieties. I should say Italianate expressions of Italian varieties. And McLaren Vale's doing that with increasing aplomb as well. So that was really my alleyway.
Right. Okay. I do actually remember reading that you were quite a fan of Verdicchio, Vermentino, and Fiano.
Exactly.
So you're finding that those varietals are being done quite beautifully in McLaren Vale.
I would say they're well suited to McLaren Vale. I would say a few wine makers are crafting them with artisanal attention to detail. I would say the vast majority, though, is pretty much, you know, reductive, tank fermented, bang in, bang out, innocuous stuff. That said, it's the few who are doing a really good job with it that I think will drag the rest into perhaps a more creative sphere. I mean, it really comes down to what, you know, the modus operandi with the wine is. How much of it are you making? What sort of price point are you going to sell it at? And who your target audience is. So I get it when one wants to make sort of a, you know, a quasi Sauvignon Blanc from Vermentino. Conversely, when I taste it, you know, it's not of a great deal of interest.
Well, I guess, all winemakers, they've got that creativity in themselves. They want to show a bit of their own personality and expression in the wines that they make. So they're always going to be a bit different. But I guess to your point, it is great that, you know, particular people are making them of a certain standard that is so good that they will be able to end up dragging them all up. So are you able to maybe divulge some of the names of the winemakers and wineries that are doing these varietals so well?
Yeah, of course. Sort of going into a grander sphere rather than focusing just on Fiano and Vermentino and Greco and so forth. I mean, in terms of Grenache, I think certainly Thistledown, obviously Yangara, Samson Tall, SC Panel, Beckett, they're really the top of the totem pole. And then in terms of the Italian varieties or the Italian eight styles that McLaren Vale is doing well, look, I was really pleasantly surprised, in fact, blown away by a particular cuvée called Rubato, made by Corioli. Well, we pronounce it Coriol in Australia, but I can't help myself. I'm going to pronounce it Corioli because I think it's Italian. So they make a fresh, vital, easygoing Fiano, which is their proprietary label. And then they make a Rubato, which is a wine done in some large neutral wood with a bit of skin inflection. I wouldn't quite call it orange, but it's certainly got the skin inflected darker hue, and it's got, you know, compelling textural detail and riveting aromatic complexity. And that was a wine that I really strove to get up among the top whites, not only in McLaren Vale, but across the board for the final powwow among the tasters when it came to us determining which wines were best of any particular categories.
Sure.
And while I didn't think that a Fiano was going to get up there at this early stage, it would be pretty precocious, I suppose, of the powers that be to push it up there as the best white wine in the country. I certainly did my best to push it as far as it could go, and it almost got there. So that was a revelation. Look, there are a whole slew of other producers as well, but that was a wine that really stuck out.
So Coriol's been coming up a lot lately, hasn't it, Simon, in our interviews? I'm a massive fan. For anyone out there who don't know Coriol, McLaren Vale, beautiful wines. I was actually introduced to Coriol through their lovely soloist, Shiraz. My husband-to-be and his mother are big fans of Coriol, and so I have tried the Fiano. It's beautiful. I haven't tried the Rubato, but I do know of it. So
let me just sort of harness those reins in a bit. I'm not necessarily saying I'm a fan of all the Coriol wines. I'm saying I'm a fan of the Rubato. Other wines, don't get me wrong. But that was a striking wine and substantially different from the styles of wine that they make otherwise. So
sure.
There you go.
So you obviously love your Italian varietals. You've spent time in Italy. You've spent time in southern France. But I also understand that you've spent a fair bit of time in Japan.
Yeah, look, I lived in Japan for 14 years during my professional life. But I also lived there as a kid as well. So I was one of those curious Australian exchange students in my teens. I did a year away during high school. And that, I suppose, set the tone very much for my interest in things Japanese.
Right. And so you just said during your professional career, which is quite interesting because I still view you as being in that, but you were, I guess that you're alluding to the fact that, you know, you were actually the face of All Nippon Airways for their business class, first class?
Yeah, I was. I was the first person to pass the Master of Wine in Japan. So, I mean, you know, you can talk about that more hyperbolically, I suppose, by suggesting that I was the first MW in Japan. But, you know, the Japanese perception of what constitutes someone in Japan and what doesn't is rather different to perhaps ours. In other words, I'm not Japanese. So the bona fide Japanese was obviously not myself, but I was the first person to pass it in Japan. And I like to think that as a mentor for various other students with aspirations along those lines, I was helpful. And of course, now they do have a Japanese master of wine, Kenichi Ohashi, who was my mentee. So I was his mentor on that, you know, trove through the MW.
Wow, you're really setting some milestones and benchmarks. That's very impressive. So did you, I mean, 14 years living there and living in the world of wine, did you dabble much with sake?
No, not really. I mean, for the first 3 or 4 months when I arrived there, I'd come from New York, so I'd been in New York for 6 years working as a sommelier there. So arriving in Japan from New York, sake was always already quite popular in New York. I decided that for the first few months I was not going to drink wine and I was only going to study and learn about and drink sake. So in a long-winded way, as I tend to be, the answer to your question is yes, for a brief period I did dabble in that world, but then I stopped and simply went back to wine.
Yes. Okay. You know, I'm not going to push you any further on that one. I've had some good sake, but you know, but all of those experiences, they are pretty impressive. So just quickly going back to the holiday panel, you were saying that you get together as a powwow towards the end so that you can all, first of all, how many people are on the panel?
Well, there's Tyson Stelzer, Jenny Port, myself, Jane Faulkner, Aaron Larkin, and Dave Brooks. So six people.
So
they all have their own regions, as I was alluding to earlier.
Yes, sure. So when you get together for that powwow at the end, what is the process of the actual choosing? I mean, I am assuming there's some form of voting involved, or there's got to be something. It's like the jury's out.
Obviously, there's preparation prior to us all, you know, a journey for this powwow, so to speak, and that is for us each to nominate our top varietal wines. I hate that category, alternative grape varieties. I mean, it's like the trash can of, you know, wine categories that Australians fail to imagine in any other way, perhaps due to their own limitations in terms of exposure to international wine. But you know, for lack of a better word, the alternative stuff or other whites, other reds, they have their own nominees as well. So it's not strictly varietal, but for the most part it is. And so once each taster nominates those wines, they're put together, they're collated, and then our, as you said a moment ago, Jill, our voting across a tasting exercise, we each sit around a round table, and we taste these wines and then we corroborate the scores and comments and come up with, after, you know, a very sort of in-depth sort of dive down into these wines, we come up with the nominees or the winners, I should say. And so they go ahead. And in some cases, if there's a draw between two wines, then we have a taste off. So, you know, that was 3 days that this took.
Wow.
So we didn't just sort of swan in there for an hour and a half and kick it out. We really, you know, browbeat each other into determining what was yay and what was nay.
So I'm sure that there have been some very interesting conversations to be had in those 3 days. Do you think we'll be able to read any of them in your memoirs?
Oh, probably not. My memoir is more based around, you know, a sort of rather unusual life through wine, I suppose, from my early days in Japan, and then time spent in Paris, which is where I went to university, then New York as a sommelier, and then back to Tokyo, where I thought I would reside for the best of a year, perhaps two, and I ended up staying for 14. So, you know, and now I'm back in Bondi, which is where I grew up as a kid. So, you know, full circle. Hopefully there'll be a few more, at least semi-circles involved in my life. But it's really about that, with some tips to aspiring, you know, wine professionals along the way that I hope I can proffer. But look, there'll be plenty of stuff about Halliday. I'm not sure about those particular conversations. I might have a lawsuit on my hands.
Well, Ned, I'm very much looking forward to reading it. So please give me a heads up when it's going to be coming out, and I'll be one of the first to get it. Look, we've just run out of time. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Thanks,
Simon. Yeah, it's been great. I have wanted to have a chat with you for actually a few years, so I'm glad that this opportunity came about. So look, you go off and have a nice indoors Father's Day, and take care of yourself. And I'd love to speak with you soon.
That's wonderful. You have a lovely lunch, Jill, and nice to meet you, Simon.
Yeah, Simon.
Take care of yourselves.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Ned.